This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. The New York Red Bulls start another soccer season in Harrison this Sunday at 1 p.m. against FC Cincinnati. Plenty of buzz surrounding the Red Bulls, exciting changes inside Red Bull Arena to match the excitement surrounding all the development going on around the stadium. Major League Soccer continues to gain fans in New Jersey and New York.
Royer down to the end line, left side, looking for help in the box. He's got Brian White right there, and he just missed it. Back to Shatkovsky. His shot and a goal! A banger from Shatkovsky! And New York has a 1-0 lead. A missed chance leads to a brilliant opportunity, and Mark Shatkovsky rips it with the left foot, his second of the year.
That's veteran play-by-play announcer Matt Harmon, who says he loves working for the New York Red Bulls, and general manager Mark de Grandpre. Let's head to Red Bull Stadium now and meet GM Mark de Grandpre on Sports Jam.
Pleasure to finally meet you after all these years. We've been so close in proximity, but you've been a busy guy, and you rejoined this team back in 2014 and have put so much into it. Major League Soccer's Executive of the Year back in 2015, and here we are in 2020, and we're overlooking the stadium here, the beautiful Red Bull Arena. You have to be excited because of the development, not only inside the stadium that we'll talk about, but outside the stadium as well.
First of all, thanks for having me on the show. Pleasure to meet you as well, Doug. Excitement is an understatement. With what's going on in Harrison, what we've done with the experience for our fans in the building, and what the team has accomplished over the last 5 to 6 seasons, it's been a tremendous ride, and it's only going to get better.
So let's talk about some of the changes inside the stadium that you have made. Soccer fans love to stand, so we know that there's a change there in the section and why you did it. I think people understand that, but maybe some of our listeners on Sports Jam don't understand.
So yeah, for a soccer fan, you know that there's a section in the stadium that's called the supporters section, where hardened, very loud folks come in every match, play the drums, they'll light flares, they'll celebrate 90 minutes. So they asked us to provide them with a safe standing seating bowl, and we did that over the offseason, which enables them to be standing the entire match, which they already were. Now there's no seats in the way. So it creates a much more communal environment down there, which will drive the energy in the building because they drive the energy in the arena. So we took care of that for our supporters. We enhanced a lot of open spaces in the arena to provide, again, more communal areas where our fans can watch the match together, which seems to be a high demand for our fans. So we added one last year with the Blue Point Dock, and this year we're adding the Heineken Deck, which will provide them an opportunity to congregate. And then we also have the Honda Deck that's going to go on the second level of the arena. We're really excited about that. We're refurbishing our club seats to make them more premium and make that experience a notch above where it was before. We're improving the ingress of our stadium. We have the latest magnetometers that you can find across pro arenas. People will not have to take out their keys or their phones when they walk through them, which is it sounds very small, but avoiding that process expedites the ingress extremely quickly. We tested it last night during a match. And Sunday we'll be ready for a much larger crowd at Red Bull Arena for our fans.
And some of that crowd will come from the surrounding community, which has really started to build up. That has to also make you stir with excitement.
Yeah, when you see the development around the arena, there's about, 6,000 to 7,000 apartments going up. Some are already up. To see those fans embrace the club is obviously a tremendous opportunity for us. And to see the reach we have, not only in the Ironbound and Newark and Kearney, but Harrison really becoming part of our fabric of the club, it's really fun to watch the community boom. And just the expansion, the commercial development in Harrison is tremendous. And all that, at the end of the day, was triggered by the investment our owner made in this stadium 10 years ago, right? This is our 10th season almost in the building. And it really triggered this development. So we're excited to see the impact we've had, but ultimately to see these folks embrace the club and become part of the family.
Family. You speak to anybody about Mark, and they'll tell you what an incredible person you are. One of the things that I've heard you say in an interview that really shows the kind of executive you are is the fact that when you were brought back to the Red Bulls in 2014, you said, I'm not going to stay in that fifth floor office building. I'm moving down to where everybody else is because I want to be where the action is. I want to show people. That tells a lot of people about how Mark de Grand Prix really runs his operation.
Yeah, I think it's a simple gesture that is important for the organization so I can see what's going on every day. If someone wants to approach me, they don't have to walk up the stairs, ask my assistant if they can get time with me. It's literally walk by the desk. If I'm not busy, they can ask me a question. So it provides an ability for the entire organization to get to know me, for me to get to know them. And ultimately, it's for me to be there and provide support when it's needed. You can act much faster when you're down in the trenches with the team and understand what's going on as a leader versus staying in your ivory tower and really sometimes being disconnected. So the objective here was to be connected with the organization and be part of the organization and really break down the walls that were part of this club prior to my return.
The way he speaks about soccer and the environment, you would think that he played it all his life. Actually, he's from Montreal and he played hockey. Did you ever think as a kid growing up that this would be where you end up?
That's a great question, Doug. And I'll tell you, not beyond my wildest dreams. I obviously, coming from Canada, I dreamt of being in sports on the ice with skates and baseball before I dreamt of being in soccer. But I've fallen in love with the game now. My son plays the game. I'm an avid watcher of the game whenever it's on. And it's something, looking back, hindsight 2020, now that I know and understand this game, I wish I played when I was younger. Because it's very similar to hockey, except it's a lot much larger surface, 11 players on the field, some similar dynamics. And what I love about soccer, I'll be honest, is the athletes themselves are so down to earth, are so committed to growing the game and being part of the community. It's something that you don't see across other sports. Our players are one of a kind, down to earth, in the community, and understand the importance of engaging our fan base because we're all trying to grow the game in North America, and we're all trying to just row the boat in the same direction and making sure that soccer becomes one of the top four sports within the next decade.
All you have to do is look at the roster for 2020. By the way, the home opener at RBA is Sunday, March 1st. You can see that there are local players and local terrific players who are a part of what this makeup is for this team, including Sean Davis, I understand, was just named captain. He's from Homedale.
Yeah, what a moment today, right, for Sean Davis from Homedale. He's part of our academy. He's been through our system. He understands this club inside out. And as he just said, we just had a meeting with the entire staff, and he said, this is a dream come true, to play for your hometown club and then become captain. This is a great moment for Sean, a great moment for our organization. It speaks to the culture we have in his organization. We want to make sure that our captains understand the club, where it's been, and how to represent us every day. And Sean exemplifies exactly what we want out of everyone wearing that jersey.
For example, Omar Fernandez grew up in the Bronx. You have Kyle Duncan grew up in New York City. Ryan Mayer, the goaltender, Crestwood. And Brian White from Flemington, New Jersey, and more. So it really has a hometown feel. And when you're from your hometown, first of all, that brings fans from that section. But it's also an understanding of the area, and it's understanding of the commitment to what we've just been talking about, the whole environment from outside the arena to inside the arena.
It's an amazing message for the local community when you can come and actually support local kids, right? I think there is no other team in the New York metro area that has that many kids who were born and raised in New York or New Jersey, right? And we take pride in making sure we develop local talent. And it starts with our youth training programs, right? We have a training program platform that is second to none in professional sports. We are in about 140 so zip codes in the metro area, and we touch about 45,000 kids and families. So from those 45,000 kids, we make sure that we identify the ones that may have potential to play for the first team. And the proof is in the pudding. When Sean Davis went through that system and is now captain, we don't just talk about it. We live it and we make it happen for these kids. And it's a tremendous tribute to the organization's focus on truly nurturing the game locally.
And the Red Bull brand itself has really been branching out in the world of soccer as well.
Yeah, I mean, we have a global network of teams, obviously. We have a team in Leipzig, and we have a team in Brazil. And it's a commitment to the game globally for our owner, right? He's really committed in driving the growth of soccer globally. And being in New York, it's an important market for us to be successful and help raise the awareness of this great game.
Even though you've been here for 10-plus years now, there are some people who have never been to Red Bull Arena. Why should they come on Sunday? Why should they come to see Major League Soccer? We know that there are so many fans now that are excited to see, you know, soccer on television all the time, the Premier League and everything like that. But here in the MLS, why should they come see the Red Bulls?
Number one, it's the best soccer-specific stadium in North America. It was designed from the ground up for soccer, so there are no bad sight lines of the building. J.D. Powers voted us the best sports fan experience in the country 2 years in a row. We provide a unique experience for the sports fan in the metro area. You come to our match once, you will come back again and again because it's unique. Our supporters that I spoke about earlier, they bring energy that is second to none. You will not hear yourself talk during the match at any point. We pride ourselves in providing the best service. You're going to be greeted with a smile when you come in, and you're going to be walking out with a smile from our staff. We make sure that we stress the importance of delivering the best fan experience. And we've been committed to it, and we've been rewarded by J.D. Powers with this award for the last two seasons. And we'll continue to elevate the game. And all the improvements we make for our fans are based on feedback they provide us. Every match, we get feedback from our fans. We take it to heart, and we make sure we make changes to better their experience day in and day out.
Yeah, if you're on a date, you have to extend that date because you're not going to have a great conversation within Red Bull Arena during the game. You're going to have to go to dinner afterwards, and you got the Ironbound right there, so you got plenty of options to have a great meal. So that's an extended date. It might be good for the guys to get a little bit more time before they actually have the conversations. You're listening to Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. The New York Red Bulls will have their home opener this Sunday against FC Cincinnati at Red Bull Arena in Harrison at 1 o'clock. Let's head back to the stadium now and talk to my guest on Sports Jam, the general manager of the Red Bulls, Mark de Grandpre. People that have interviewed you before have talked about leadership and service. You brought up a Muhammad Ali quote. Were you a big Muhammad Ali fan?
I'm not a big boxing fans, but if there's any athlete that I looked up to as a child, it was Muhammad Ali for what he did for that sport and what he did for our generation of kids and the generation preceding us. I mean, what a great example, a true champion and a winner who didn't back down and who always never gave up. And it's a message that we can all live by. And he appreciated and he was grateful for the opportunities he was given throughout his career. And it's something that I admire out of him.
I guess that's why he probably is the most recognizable face ever in sports. And here you are growing up in Montreal, and you knew all about Muhammad Ali.
You can't, you know, in Montreal, we still had the Wide World of Sports on ABC, so you couldn't miss him. And he transcended borders, and that's why he made an impact on me amongst many other athletes. And ultimately, as a father, a husband, and now a leader for this organization, I think it's very important for us to give back to the local community, right? And take care of special causes that are near and dear to our hearts, like Autism Speaks, and everything else we do with 11 days of service in the fall, remembering those that were lost on 9/11. I think we should never lose focus of what happened on that day, and we make sure every year that we honor those heroes that served and fought and were there to help us get back on our feet. And it's part of our DNA as a club. It is a mandate that we have to make sure we give back to the community. And we have a saying in here, we are part of their community and they are part of our club. And it transcends everything we do. And I'll tell you, speaking of our players, last year we did almost 365 appearances with our players in the community. That's demanding on them, right? They have a full schedule of training, matches. It's a long season. Yet they find the time to be there, and we don't have to twist their arms, right? Sometimes we have to tell guys, no, we have enough guys who are going to show up. And it's a testament to our coaching staff, the guys on the sporting side who truly embrace this message of community first and being out there and having a presence. And ultimately, we help improve the local community. We've launched how many mini pitches in the local community? I think we have a commitment to build 20 with the Newark Public Schools over the next 5 years. And that provides an opportunity for those kids to be able to play soccer after school. And we don't just build these pitches and walk away and put our logo on them. We provide programming after school, which enables them to learn how to be a great athlete, a better soccer player, eat well, nutrition becomes part of the curriculum, and ultimately just become a good individual and a better leader in the community. So we're really proud of all those initiatives.
One of the initiatives that you're really proud of is the fact that not only do you have an annual Autism Awareness Night in April, but you now have the Grand Prix Family Grant for Autism Programs. And you have two wonderful kids, Tyler and Julia, and so they have been extremely involved in the Red Bulls. And this really, along with your wife, what a team that you have built here, and having Harrison as your home for sports, but you're only about 50 minutes away from here with your home.
Yeah, we're part of the fabric of the community. We're 50 minutes away in Altopan, New Jersey. And obviously autism is near and dear to our family. And we've been blessed with having a child who is challenged by this disease, I'll call it. But for us, it's a blessing. It's shown us how to appreciate life, how to embrace it every day, and now to be carefree, because that's what our daughter teaches us every day, right? She's loving. She enjoys life. She doesn't really care about what other people think, and sometimes we get caught up in that. And she has embraced this club as her second family, and the club has embraced her. And last year, when the club was gracious enough to roll out this the Grand Prix Family Grant, my wife and I weren't aware. It was a total surprise to us. And again, I think it speaks to what this organization is all about, to go to that nth degree to make this happen on behalf of our family for this club. I mean, I was speechless at the time, and I have a hard time talking about it because it, we're in a special place, and I'm really proud of the culture we've built here, and it's something hopefully that I will be able to, you know, to hold near and dear to my heart for a long, long time, because we have an amazing group of people in here that have done great things. And for them to embrace autism as they have, that cause, really unique in sports. And I'll tell you, it wasn't even, I didn't have to push it. It was simply an idea of a few folks in here who came to me and said, hey, we really want to help you guys raise awareness for this. We know you're involved, but I was involved with it in my private life, personal life with my wife. And it took a while for my wife and I to debate, do we want to do this? Do we want to use this platform to raise awareness? Is it the right thing to do? Some people would say, will probably criticize us, but I'm not going to listen to the noise. I feel it's an important cause that doesn't get enough attention, that is an epidemic, let's be honest. One in 66 kids now is on the spectrum in some way, shape, or form. And we need to do more about it. So if the Red Bulls can do a little bit more every year to raise awareness and raise resources to research this dreaded disease, because it is a dreaded disease that doesn't go away. And that's what I want to drive home with this also, is that you deal with it for the rest of your life. There's no cure. You can't fix it. And it is a challenge that is difficult on families, but as I said, it's a blessing because it makes you realize how lucky you are every day to live the life that you have. And I want to make sure we are able to raise awareness for this, and hopefully someday we can find some cure or some way to prevent or slow down the spread and this, what I would call an epidemic.
Having a daughter who has a master's in inclusive education, you will never hear me say the word dis to follow. I want to talk about the abilities of Julia.
Ah, she's got many abilities. She loves to dance. She loves to sing. She does gymnastics. She does soccer in the fall. She's in basketball right now. She's on her cheerleading team at school, which is an amazing school, the Durand School in Union. They are amazing. Just a special group of individuals that have been able to draw out of her everything that is great in her. And it's a lot of things. And she's gifted. Her memory could outlast all of ours. She remembers things from 10 years ago and she's 12. Her smile is infectious. As I said earlier, her ability to be carefree and just be herself, to me, is a reminder and a gift to everyone who comes in touch with her. She walks into a room and she lights it up with her smile. And she will be herself, which I love about her. Anywhere you go, Julia's going to be Julia. And she will not change. She will be herself, and she will not be influenced to be anyone else but Julia. And I can tell you she's been a godsend for our son, and our son has been a godsend for his sister, right? He appreciates her. He loves her. And he does everything he needs to do to help her. He is, he does soccer with her. He did basketball. He hasn't had time this year, but he does hand in hand every Thursday at Altapan Northern Valley High School. Kids with special abilities go there, and Tyler volunteers, and he has committed a lot of time and effort to be there for his sister and provide normalcy for her. And this is what I love about this club. This team gives her normalcy. She can come and enjoy a soccer game like every other child, and no one looks at her differently, no one questions her, and no one bothers her, which is amazing.
You might think that as general manager of the Red Bulls that, you know, Mark's, you hear his passion and his emotion, that he's got to put team first as an executive. He doesn't. He's got his priorities straight. It's dad first. Where was that instilled in you?
I think from my parents early on in life. You know, I'll never forget, I played hockey in Canada, and I would have games in the afternoon, different times of the day. And there was a game in the afternoon, and I knew my dad was at work, and I was playing, and we're having a good game. We won, and I looked in the stands, and I saw my father behind a structure in the back of the arena. And I came home and I asked my mom, is dad at all my games? And she said, yeah, he never misses a game. And he said, family's first and then work. And that's been instilled from his father down to my father, to me. And it's basic balance in life. I'm never going to let work take over my family life. It's my family first. And I have the ability with this club to do that because it is respected and welcome from our owner and management team in Europe that you need to be there for your family. It provides balance. If you don't, then you lose focus and you're not as productive at work. I didn't miss one of my son's soccer games this fall. I think I missed one when I was in Europe, but I will make sure that I am there for every one of his games. I go to my daughter's games where she's cheerleading at school in the morning. I'm going to go read to her at school Monday. I want to be there for them because, as I just told the team, you never know. You better appreciate every day in life. And if you don't, you're going to regret it. And my point is, I got to appreciate my family every single day. And if they're doing something they love, I've got to be there.
What's the origin of that fantastic last name you have?
It's French-Canadian. But my great-grandfather was born in Fall River, Massachusetts. And when he was a teenager, he moved to Canada. But he originally came from Europe in France. But somehow my line goes through Fall River, Massachusetts, and maybe that's why I'm in the U.S. and I'm the only De Grand Prix now living in the U.S., which is kind of funny. Everyone else is still in Montreal. So, yeah, my great-grandfather moved to Montreal, and then that's where the family tree went. And my grandfather is still alive at 98 years old, doing amazing. And he's an amazing man, and he's done amazing things, and he's also instilled in his family that giving is more important than receiving.
Have you taught him about soccer?
You know, he's a golfer. He doesn't play. I don't think he plays anymore. I think he appreciates soccer now. He's probably watched a few games here and there when he could see us play. And my whole family, who had never been into soccer now, my mom is a diehard Canadiens fan, Habs fan, but I tell you, when we play, I think she calls me or texts me before the game's even over if we've won or lost, and she gets as upset as I do, I think, when we lose, and when we win, she's very excited. So, the whole family has embraced this club and soccer.
Talk about women being involved in soccer. Carly Lloyd, everybody knows from the World Cup championships teams. She will be here as part of Sky Blue FC as the games will be here mm-hmm. in 2020. You have to be thrilled about that as well.
Yeah, I think it's a natural for us to be partners with Sky Blue and help them grow the women's game, right? And we want them to have the opportunity to play in the best soccer stadium in North America. and the local women's team should play here. So that's why we struck this partnership with them. We're excited to have them here. They're also going to train at our training facility. And I think it's just our effort to grow the game needs to be all-inclusive. And we're really proud of this partnership and what it's going to do for the women's game, our game, and the entire game of soccer, ultimately.
We know that soccer, you know, is the mass appeal because it doesn't take a lot of money to take a ball out and learn how to play the game. But it has grown tremendously here in the United States. How far can it go? How far can the MLS go? You've been in this for a good while now. Are we going to see packed stadiums here at Red Bull Arena? And how much excitement can be built around the MLS?
You know, I remind everyone that this is our 25th anniversary, right? When you think about it, we're still learning how to walk as a professional league. We're getting there, and we've made tremendous progress in those first 25 years. And you look at how Commissioner Garber has steered this ship and guided it, the expansion you've seen over the last few years. There is a demand for the game of soccer in North America that is beyond any other sport. And we're going to see tremendous growth as it leads up to 2026 and the World Cup. And the vision is for us to become the league of choice eventually, you know, but that's a long runway, a long-term vision for the league. And I believe that we will get there eventually. But the growth has been tremendous. It's great to see more partners being involved, more teams and markets now being part of the family. And you can see that the growth of the game is happening. The engagement at the local level is happening across the league. We're excited to see where it's going. And I'll tell you, sort of a microcosm of what's happening. We recently have added some talent to this front office, right? We just brought in a young general counsel who's a superstar in the sports world that came from the NBA to join this team here, right? That tells you this very successful person who's been in the NBA for a while sees tremendous potential with the MLS, with this club, with this culture. I am so excited about where we're going. When you look at our new hire, Kevin Telwell, who will start shortly when his visa is processed, right? He left a pretty successful career in the EPL to join us here in New York and join the MLS. As he told the staff this morning, the future is bright for soccer in North America, and I want it to be part of the growth of the game in the U.S. And there's no better place to do it than with the Red Bulls.
All the cross, nobody there. Barlow is! Cleans it up and scores! Red Bulls strike with Tom Barlow. New York 1, Union nothing in the 32nd minute.
One of your announcers, Matt Harmon, who I've known for many years, raves about you, Mark. Another one of the heroes that we've talked about, but I want to give him the last thought here. Tyler, what's the best thing he's ever said to you, or the something that has meant the most to you?
Now you're making me emotional, right? My my son, as much as Julia is gifted, my son is as gifted as she is, and I have never met a kid who is so strong, so determined, and so kind. There is no better child with the heart that he has, the determination, and the poise for a 16-year-old to handle what he's handled throughout his childhood is amazing, and I am so proud of him every day.
So I think we should switch the title here before we let him go, and it's not New York Red Bulls general manager. It's Dad and New York Red Bulls general manager Mark DeGrandpre on Sports Jam. Thanks for sharing your story. Continued success and good luck to the Red Bulls this season.
Thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Sports Jam is a WBGO News production. You can check out all the podcasts by going to wbgo.org/sportsjam. Or find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.